Good morning, everyone. It's time for hymn sing. So do I have a request out there for this morning for our first hymn? Yes, go. Yes, Alita. 147. Okay, 147, All Things Bright and Beautiful, verses 1 and 4. Yes. 381. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. 381, verses 1 and 4. Another request, please. Deb, sorry, go ahead. 534, did I hear 1 and 3?
Yes.
534, Be Still My Soul, verses 1 and 3.
Thank you.
If there's no other suggestion, then I think that is time, and we will continue with our service. Thank you, everyone.
The House of Faith. We're so happy that you joined us here today for our worship service, and for those of you on Zoom, it's always great to have you here. I will start out with some announcements. Please remember to fill out the red pew pad that's at the end of your pew and pass it down to those in your same pew. And remember to sign on the top pad, entry form there, please. There's also blue prayer cards in front of you. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to make, please fill it out and leave it on the plate as you leave the church. We're looking for donations for the Good Samaritan Fund. You can give money, or you can buy Stater's script cards for the Good Samaritan Fund. This money is used to help those less fortunate with food. You can get that in the fellowship hall. We have our March birthdays. Today is March 1st, so I wish a happy birthday for this month to Cheryl, Lucy, Becky, Rachel, Stephen, Destiny, Alicia, Jennifer, Jan, and Denise. Happy March birthdays.
We have Becky here with us and Rachel. And, you know, for both of you, it's a meaningful birthday. I am so happy that we get to celebrate Rachel's birthday again. So shall we sing Happy Birthday?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rachel and Becky. Happy birthday to you.
And many more. Yes.
The March newsletter is now available. It's in the narthex. You can also contact the office if you'd like a different delivery method, such as email, mail, or you can pick it up in the office. And we have another episode of The Chosen, Season 3, today at 11 in the Camellia Room, so please join us. And free Saturday movies. The next Saturday movie is this coming Saturday, March 7th, at 11 a.m. It's the movie We Bought a Zoo. A young father moves his family out to the countryside to renovate and reopen a struggling zoo based on a true story. This is a good movie. We've watched it. And we have the pastor's lunch coming Wednesday, March 11th at noon at Legend China 8 in Cali Mesa. The price is $15, so please sign in at the script table in the fellowship hall if you want to join us for that. It's always a fun time and good food. Now it's time for our call to worship. If you would stand as you're able and join me. I love you, Lord, my strength.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge.
In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help.
He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters.
And now our opening hymn is I Will Sing of My Redeemer. It's in your insert.
I will sing of my Redeemer. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my loss a stage to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant fountain. How the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon Faith of heaven made me free.
While we're all standing, let's offer the peace of Christ to our friends and neighbors.
So are you going back there at some point? All right, let's welcome our friends on Zoom. So glad to see you, Helen. Good morning to you and George. You know, I mean, you have a red shirt. Are you really trying to look like Santa Claus? What does it say? You gotta stand up. Aloha, aloha, yes. Well, George used to live in Aloha, I mean, Hawaii, yes. Good to see you, George. Good morning to you, June. And Kenny has a cross behind. That doesn't look like Methodist cross, though. You are not converted to Catholic. So glad to see April and Bill, and good morning to Chris and David. David's waiting for his hip replacement surgery in April, so please keep him in prayer, and welcome to the one on iPad.
We will now share our joys and concerns, so please raise your hand if you have something to share, and Deb will give you the mic.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I remembered this week to bring Sophie's blanket. That's what was missing. That was called to my attention. But I did manage to forget her leash, so I still got to keep an eye on her. We finally have a date for Lorraine's service. It's not until April 11th. That is the Saturday after Easter, 10 o'clock in the morning. That's the family's choice, so that's what we're going to do. As I said before, she has a huge family. They're coming from all over the United States. Those that can make it, fine. Those that can't, oh well. And just want to give everybody here a heads up. I worked for a railroad for 37 years. Sometimes she didn't work for the railroad, but she was married to me. And railroad funerals can be like police and firemen funerals. There might be more people than you expect. So that's just a heads up. Thank you, everybody, for your support. I really have been able to use it, and it's nice to have my other family here. Thank you.
You have something to say?
Yeah. Hi, Katie. I'm in High Brown Bell and Karate, and I got katana patch, and I'll be finding another karate place from kendo and jujitsu and kato. That'll be fun. Yeah, that'll be good.
All right, Katie. Good job. Katie will be her daddy's bodyguard. He needs one because he's working in jail.
I have a joy that we had 19 children at Parents Night Out last Friday, and we had a really great time. And you can look at pictures in the friendly visitor and the announcement slides, so I'm just really happy that we're getting so many good kids to come. Anybody on Zoom, please unmute and raise your hand. Go ahead, Kenny.
That, I should tell you, that cross there in the background, that's carved out of Georgia granite. It is St. Simon's Island, and it's part of the memorial to John and Charles Wesley.
Oh. There, it's well, there was a Methodist.
Yeah. Well, it was put together by there's a couple of plaques that tell all about it, but it was a joint project between the Episcopal Diocese and the United Methodists got together and put it together. And there's an Episcopal Church right next to it, and also a Methodist Church or Wesleyan Church right next to it. And they put together a trust fund of some type so that it will be maintained like until the Christ comes back. But it's a beautiful memorial, and it's all about the Wesley brothers. They're missing the plane. They got the cross, missing the plane.
Glad to know that you are on Methodist ground, Kenny.
I'm still a dyed-in-the-wool Methodist.
And just want to briefly mention, you know, those two who was we are celebrating birthday for. Rachel and Becky, they are walking miracles, as you know. Becky has something right there in her brain, and then she's just like 100% normal. Nothing bothers her. So she's a walking miracle. And look at Rachel. She has fought a good fight and still going strong. So praise God for them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let us now join together in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, as we tread along life's long journey, we meet obstacles that weary our steps and burdens that bend our strength. At times, pain lingers, and the battle before us feels too fierce for us to endure alone.
Yet you are our faithful companion on the way. When we stumble, your hand is ready to lift us. Strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Reignite within us a holy passion for the ministry you have entrusted to our care. For your name's sake, amen.
Amen. Let us now continue our prayers in silence, lifting up our prayers that we have within us. Let us lift up our prayers for all those people God placed in our life circle. Today, O Lord, we celebrate our life in you. As we gather together in this beautiful place of worship, we are reminded of your presence in our lives through your Holy Spirit. We are reminded of the very fact how wonderful you have been upon our life journey. We have faced many obstacles on the way, but O Lord, with your help, we have overcome them all. Even though we may see some issues before us today, we know with your help, we will overcome them again. So, Lord, restore within us the joy of salvation, joy of living in you, because you have come to our life and you have become the very focal point of our life. And you, Lord Jesus, have given many reasons to celebrate. We can celebrate your presence in our lives. We can celebrate your goodness and mercy in our lives. We can celebrate your provision, your guidance, your protection, your companionship. We have so much to celebrate. So, Lord, remind us of your goodness and mercy upon us, that even when we are discouraged, we may look at you and overcome all the sources of discouragement. So, Lord, we have come to this place of celebration, and our hearts are open unto you and your Holy Spirit so that you can come in and remove all the darkness away from our hearts, from our lives, from everywhere we go, that we may see your light shining before our path. So, Lord, we recognize your presence in our lives, and that's the very reason that we can still go on celebrating in you. So, recognizing you and your Holy Spirit in our lives, O Lord, we yield to you. We have plans upon our journey. We have areas of concern. We give them unto you, O Lord, that you can continue to use us, empower us, that we may do your will. So, as one community of faith, we pray that you use us, use this church, this community, this nation, and the world to bring glory unto your name. And now we join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Raise Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Our scripture reading today is from 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and verse 18. Elijah flees from Jezebel. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he, in the strength of that food, 40 days and 40 nights, to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Elijah meets God at Horeb. "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everybody. So good to see you all in here. Again, this is the day that the Lord has created for us to celebrate. And I pray that each of us will get to celebrate our life as we are open to the movement of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come in and work within us and remind us that we are His. Tommy was in his early 30s and desperate to settle down. Finding a girlfriend wasn't a problem. He met plenty of wonderful women. The problem was his mother. Every time a relationship got serious, he'd bring the girl home. And every time, his mother would say, "I don't like her." And that was the end of it. Frustrated, Tommy complained to a friend. His friend said, "You are going about this all wrong. Stop looking for someone you like. Find a woman just like your mother. Then she'll have no complaint." Tommy thought it was a brilliant advice. He went on dating apps, endured countless awkward dinners, and finally found her, a woman who looked exactly like his mother. Same face, same height, same hairstyle, same way of talking, same opinions about everything. They could be twins, he thought proudly. A month later, his friend called. "So, did you find someone like your mother?" "I did. They could pass for sisters." "That's amazing. Did you take her home?" "Yes." "And how did it go?" Mom was thrilled. She thought she found her long-lost sister. "That's great. So what's the problem?" Tommy sighed and said, "My father couldn't stand her." Married couple can resemble Tommy's parents, still holding on to loving and caring feelings, even if their expressions are blunt and prickly. This may indicate relational burnout. Many believe burnout only results from jobs out of overworked. But it also comes from relationships. Workplace burnout often leads to changing jobs, which easily resolve the problem. However, relational burnout isn't that straightforward. It can be managed and even become a foundation for rebuilding intimacy and rekindling love. Today's scripture highlights that relational burnout can occur between God and us. Have you thought about that? Burnout can happen in our faith, in our relationship between God and us. After Elijah struggled against idol worshippers, he reached a low point. It's striking how well Elijah displayed burnout symptoms during that time. I mean, this is a very familiar story, but has a very profound lessons in the story about burnout. Just before reading this morning, that is chapter 18, Elijah was on Mount Carmel, where he gathered the prophets of Baal from across Israel to prove who the true God was. They prepared two bulls on the altar, one for Baal and one for the God of Israel. The prophets of Baal called on Baal to send fire on the sacrifice, but nothing happened all day long. At the evening sacrifice, Elijah instructed the people to pour water over the altar and around it. When he prayed, fire from the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice, the altar, and everything nearby. Afterwards, all the prophets of Baal were killed. Elijah then ascended Mount Carmel and prayed for rain. As heavy rain started, he ran on foot and overtook King Ahab in a chariot all the way to Jezreel. That day, he was drained physically, mentally, spiritually. Think about it, you know, confronting 450, and then actually in the chapter 18, there were other prophetesses or prophets of Asherah that the Jezebel worship. And it was, you know, mentally, emotionally draining. And then he climbed the mountain, Mount Carmel, you know, that the Mount ranges stretches about 15 to 20 miles and about 600 feet high. And then he ran afterwards 20 miles on foot. And this whole thing set the scene for what happened in chapter 19 that we just read. Jezebel, Ahab's wife, was furious about the death of the prophets of Baal and was determined to kill Elijah at any cost. In chapter 18, Elijah was a fearless leader of Israel, but in this chapter, only a chapter later, his reaction was unusually unlike him. He was afraid and fled for his life. What caused this sudden change? As shown in chapter 18, a simple answer is exhaustion. James 5:17 describes Elijah as a man with a nature just like ours, emphasizing his human limit. Exhaustion is a common sign of burnout. As the story continues, Elijah displays more burnout symptoms. After arriving in Beersheba, he left his servant there. Although he would need his servant's help to continue his ministry, leaving him behind suggests Elijah had lost interest in continuing. This indicates a loss of motivation and engagement. He then traveled a day into the wilderness alone and sat under a broom tree, clearly wanting to be left alone and avoid interruption. Burnout often leads to isolation from friends, family, and colleagues, which signifies a loss of interest in one's role. Under the broom tree, Elijah prayed to die, saying, "I have had enough, Lord." I mean, have you ever prayed that prayer? I have had enough, Lord. And added, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God Almighty." This vividly describes his condition. He believed he had done everything God required, Yet he reached his limit and couldn't go on. He asked God to end his life, not out of suicidal intent, but because he felt overwhelmed and sought relief from his troubles. Burnout left him feeling empty, stripped him of his identity and calling as a prophet, and he was filled with despair. Elijah said, "I'm the only one left." He has said this before, notably in chapter 18, when he addressed the prophets of Baal and the Israelites, repeating the same words. This indicates that even during moments when Elijah appeared brave and powerful, he felt lonely. Serving God alone can be a heavy burden. If God cares for me, why does he not provide others to take my place? Loneliness breeds mutual rejection. God does not seem to favor me, and I dislike my calling. Elijah's extended loneliness highlights that burnout develops gradually rather than suddenly. Those approaching burnout often remain unaware until they reach their breaking point. Elijah was no different. He allowed his exhaustion to build up until he could no longer cope. If Elijah's symptoms seem familiar, you might be experiencing burnout and need to remember that God understood Elijah's struggle deeply and provided method to treat his symptom. Moreover, God offers complete recovery from burnout. Now, the following outlines how God facilitated Elijah's recovery, just as the scripture was written. It's just plain. The recovery symptom is described plainly, and the recovery method is described very plainly in the scripture. To help Elijah recover from exhaustion, God sent an angel to touch him and provide bread and water. Elijah ate, drank, and then slept. By the angel's second visit, Elijah has regained strength and could travel for 40 days to Horeb. From a messianic perspective, the bread and water symbolize Jesus, the living bread and water. When we are burned out, we need physical rest as well as mental and spiritual renewal, which Jesus provides for the weary. I believe the same approach applies to anyone recovering from burnout. So think about the method that God applied to handle Elijah's burnout. First, retreat and be alone to begin healing. Second, nourish yourself on Jesus' word and in fellowship with him. Third, give your exhausted body time to recover by literally eating, drinking water, not drinking alcohol as some do, and sleeping enough. I mean, that's a very simple solution, right? Enough to nurture the body and regain the strength again. Eat, drink, and sleep. So if you feel tired and life seems to be meaningless, you may want to do that. Enjoy eating, drink a lot of water, hydrate yourself, and have plenty of rest. That'll help us to regain. To combat loneliness, God revealed to Elijah that he was not alone, as Elijah, contrary to Elijah believed. But there were 7,000 remnants in Israel. God also instructed him to anoint Elisha as his successor. Loneliness associated with burnout can be overwhelming. It must have been a great relief and comfort for Elijah to know that God understands his specific situation. he wasn't alone. He was one of 7,000 faithful warriors, including Elijah, who is now anointed to share his burdens. Jesus, who is both fully God and fully human, faced a more dire situation than Elijah. On Monday, Thursday night, he fervently prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood. In his agony, an angel appeared to strengthen him. He was then arrested, tried, sentenced to death, scourged, and mocked. By the time he carried the cross along the Via Dolorosa, he was utterly exhausted. When he fell beneath its weight, Simon of Cyrene was compelled to carry it for him. God's support right there when Jesus was struggling was available. Through an angel in the Garden of Gethsemane and through a human hand when Jesus needed it. Serving God can feel like a solitary struggle. The path is narrow and few follow it. It's common for God's servant to sense they are alone in their service. We have dedicated our lives to doing good and making difference. We have accomplished so much. However, at the final stretch, we might find ourselves physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually drained. Burnout can take over, making it feel impossible to take another step. Even our spirit may feel like giving up, much like Elijah's experience. It's natural to feel lonely in this journey. But honestly, are we truly lonely? Frank Reed taught children in Beirut when kidnapped. From 1986 to 1990, he was held hostage in a Lebanon cell. For months at a time, Reed was blindfolded, living in complete darkness, was chained to a wall, and kept in absolute silence. On one occasion, he was moved to another room, and although blindfolded, he could sense others in the room. Yet it was 3 weeks before he dared speak out to discover he was chained next to Terry Anderson and Tom Sutherland. They were American educators and journalists. They were kidnapped and were held in hostage by Hezbollah extremists for 6 years. Although Reed was beaten, made in, and tormented, he felt almost the lack of anyone caring. He said in an interview with Time, "Nothing I did mattered to anyone. I began to realize how withering it is to exist with not a single expression of caring around me. I learned one overriding fact. Caring is a powerful force. If no one cares, you are truly alone." But can we ever be alone and lonely? Believers in Jesus are never alone. For Jesus cares for us and is there with us. We may find ourselves in Elijah's position at times, but we can trust that God will provide ways to recover from burnout. Throughout our lives, we've served God, and now our bodies and spirit may feel exhausted. However, as Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 4:16, he said, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day." This renewal comes through Jesus, our only source of strength. Aging can sometimes bring burnout symptoms, with loneliness being prominent, especially as friend and family drift away, and children may walk different paths. We might feel like we have to face remaining battle alone, but remember, that's just our feeling. As Isaiah 46:4 states, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you and rescue you." Praise the Lord, who is our strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. Amen. Now I'm going to invite you at this time to come to the table of God's mercy. And those who are worshiping at home, you can grab a slice of bread at this time and maybe a drink or a cup of water to participate together in this communion. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we partake in receiving this piece of bread, let us remember the body of Christ Jesus was broken for us, for our salvation. As we partake in this drinking from the cup that Jesus prepared for us, let us remember the blood of Christ Jesus was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. So now, with a gratitude and thanksgiving, let us take the bread and drink from the cup. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are forever grateful for your cross. And we are delighted of your love as we are reminded of your sacrifice on that rugged cross. We thank you, Lord, that you have made your love available for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is now the time for the offering of our tithes and offerings. You may leave them in the plate as you leave the sanctuary or bring them to the office. And we will now have special music.
Thank you for the nail-pierced hands washed
Praise God, all. Praise God, all creatures, he below. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that love that you have poured upon us in Calvary. Thank you for your presence in our life. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for your provision, your guidance, your outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us. We recognize all that you have done, and we give you this offering of thanksgiving to your glory. So, Lord, bless it. Use it for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn today is number 337, Only Trust Him.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes bright as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are truly blessed. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your reminder that the rest from you is available when we are weary. The battles in life often look so fierce that we don't find enough strength to engage in the battle, but Lord, you are there fighting the battle for us and strengthening to us to continue on. So Lord, empower us as we go from here, that we may be able to meet all the challenges of this life with your help. So we ask your blessing of empowerment through your Holy Spirit and the blessing of peace as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen. Now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true.
Oh, he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. We taught the others so all the world can see.